Hey guys, Footy Focus podcast episode 15. We are recording on Wednesday, the 3rd of August, and joined by my co-host, as always, Shahan. How are you going?
Yeah, not too bad, Shanika. It's been another busy week. Not long to go. I think three more games for each club.
Yeah, Port's out of the finals race officially, so we'll touch on that a bit later. And talking points today, probably the biggest ones, Eddie Betts. So we'll probably leave that to next week. There's obviously been apologies made to him, and there's probably a bit more to play out with the AFLPA and the AFL. And I know Josh Chenton was going to talk on, I think, on Friday on SEN, so there's probably a bit more to come out. So we'll leave that to next week. There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, so he's the first one that's come out publicly and sort of gone into details about what happened in that infamous postseason trip. Yes, some shocking stuff. So, yeah, might maybe talk about a bit about that next week.
Yeah, 100%. So, I've got some other talking points. So, I guess for me, as a Port supporter, the question about whether Carl Amon should be played for the last three rounds. Now, 99% looks like he's going to leave. Now, my position is no. Finals is out of the question, so I don't really see the need to play him while there's no finals, you know, hopes. Like more midfield minutes for Farrell and Dersmon on a wing, for example, younger players who are, you know, contracted for the next few years. And also, if he does get hurt, it probably hurts his it might hurt the contract he's going to get, which is reported to be $3 million over 5 years, and probably a free agency compo as well. And I'd probably say it's a minimum second round. I don't think he's worth that as a player, but I think the contract he'll get will just dictate we get a second rounder. And I think Henderson had that with the Cats. I think he told him he was going to the Cats, and Carlton pretty much said, pack your bags. So I don't think he deserves that. Probably deserves a presser and everything like that, but yeah, shouldn't be played. What's your take on it?
Oh, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Like, as an industry, are we sort of mature enough? Because what you're saying makes sense, and I think it's logical. Yeah, you wouldn't want to blood games into Amon when you have Farrell and Dersma right there. So with nothing to play for, you're not really trying to win. But then on the other side, it's about sort of integrity and trying to win. So you'd reckon Amon's in your best 22? Right?
Yeah, I think he's too.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. You could play him and not give him that role, like maybe play him in the back pocket or something, if you really want to expose other wingers. To be honest, it'll just impact the betting markets, and sort of it could be seen as tanking or manipulating games, even though that's not. It's more sort of building towards 2023.
Yeah.
I'm okay with not playing him, and being mature about it. Even if it means you lose the game. But in terms of his compensation, yeah, I think, and like a pick after your second pick is fine. I think that's probably where he's worth. Probably fall around pick 30, you think? Might even be a bit under. Probably would be early 20s.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got dropped earlier this season. Like, his form to start wasn't great, and yeah, based on his 2020, 2021 form, probably at early second rounder. But yeah, I wouldn't complain with the late second rounder or even third rounder, to be honest. So we'll have to see about the compo, the formula they use is always interesting. You want to touch?
He'll just be another long list of players that go from Port to Hawthorn. So that continues.
Yeah, exactly. Impey and Wingard. And you want to touch on Joel Selwood, who celebrated a weekend?
You just quickly, I reckon we should have touched on this last week, but yeah, we won't list all his accolades, but I think the important ones are probably his winning percentage, 72.5. So that's really high for any sport, really, right? Maybe All Blacks. I mean, they'd be close to 100.
I think now, the previous 100 years, probably.
Yeah. And also the longest serving captain and the most wins as a captain. He goes past Dick Reynolds, I think. from Essendon. So, yeah, that's a pretty long list of gun players like Kernahan, Carey, and Voss. But yeah, he's been. Well, how would you remember Selwood at?
Yeah, probably 2007. Like, and I think he went the pick after Bokes. There was always a question whether we take Selwood or Geelong get Bokes, because Bokes are local as well. And yeah, 2007, I think he was one of the better players, and he slotted straight into the team debut year. Like, was probably one of the top five players in that team, and that team had probably 10 Hall of Famers in it. So, him setting the standard in his debut year, that probably stands out to me. And probably the only thing missing from his resume is premiership captain, right? Like, he's done everything else.
Yeah, and he might be one this year, right, the way they're tracking. So, yeah, you're right. He, from the get-go, he set a high standard, and he never sort of dropped much. He might have had one quiet year where he was a bit injured, and he's missed finals just once in his 14 or whatever year old career, I think 15 years. So no, he's been an absolute champion, and you'd think Hall of Famer.
Oh yeah, legend.
From the very first eligibility, yeah, from the first year he's eligible. Yeah, and probably one of the most courageous players, obviously, to ever play. Yeah, in terms of coaching, like, the contact I had in Geelong doesn't reckon he would be a coach. So that's interesting. So whether he can, if that's something he wants to do, or if he's got other plans, which doesn't include coaching. So, but he's definitely an inspirational leader. And I think his impact we'll see that in the next few years. If Geelong sort of dip a little bit when he's not there. So, yeah.
Probably the best CV in the game. Move on to the game reviews, and I've got another Port close loss. I won't talk about it too much. Pretty similar to the last, probably every game we've lost to a quality team this season.
You guys are copying us with predictable losses.
Yeah, just close losses. And I think inability to string four quarters together is, again, the difference between us and the good sides, and we are not that at the moment. Kick five unanswered goals in the first quarter, but then conceded the next five, including a goal in the second quarter. And that's really where, we gave up our lead.
Right. And the game was lost, where, according to you?
Yeah. So 25 points up late in the first quarter, conceded the last two goals in a minute. So it doesn't seem like much, but Aaliyah dropped an easy chest mark, led to a Ginnivan goal, and the goalie marked. Yeah, loads of space, and yeah, that's just the difference between good sides and bad sides. Bad sides do that, and good sides, take a 25-point lead into quarter time, and that was momentum swing as well, which is really key in the modern game. And in terms of the midfield battle, I thought Cameron and Finlayson were both in the best players, but plus 8 clearances, plus 15 contested possessions. There's a good article by Riley Beveridge about Finlayson today, saying he's the number one rated ruckman since the bye. But I'll touch on that with the Richmond preview. But we just lose a bit with hit outs to advantage, hit outs. But he more than makes up for it around the ground. And Zach Butters.
Is that according to like champion data stats? Is it?
So I guess in terms of score involvements, clearances, touches as well, he's not the best ruckman in the comp. I think we know that. But I think he's probably the best around the ground ruckman. I'd like to see Sam Hayes as number one. That just spoils my bit of my preview. I'll talk about that later. Your boy David King, really highlighted Zach Butters. Probably his best game as a mid, 2 goals, 25 with 10 contested and 7 score involvements. Sam Pepper continues his top 5 BNF season, 2 goals, 2 contested mark, 7 inside 50s. Jace Burgoyne's probably already in our best 22 and probably the missing link down back. Got too many halfback flankers. He's like a lockdown small defender, hopefully. Kicked a clutch.
Yeah, I was surprised. Clutch goal, yeah. I was pretty surprised by how quickly he's come on. Because I think end of last year, he was touted as a late pick and not able to make an immediate impact. But he's a rangy sort of type with good agility and, yeah, like you said, very assured with the ball in hand. So now he's having a good first year.
Yeah, probably the best one-on-one defender I've seen at 65 kilograms. That's probably his next step to bulk up. Rosie had a game high 35 and 8 inside 50s, only 5 score involvements and no goals, so probably wanted a bit more damage from him. Boak just, yeah, continues to keep going. 2 first quarter goals and game high score involvements and, yeah, a couple of goal assists as well.
Yep, and you had a couple of milestone men, so how did they go?
Yeah, so Wines and Jonas both celebrated 200 games. Wines was busy, game high clearances, most meters gained, but probably Josh Dacos was the best midfielder on the day, not Wines. And yeah, Jonas was just as brave as ever, 11 intercepts from 12 touches and just, yeah, played every second like, you know, it's his last game.
Wines got to 200 pretty quickly. He'll get to 300 easy.
Yeah, debuted 2013. So, yeah, I think he had half a year where he got injured. But, yeah, apart from that, he's played pretty much every game.
And for the Pies, just quickly?
Yeah, I mentioned Dacos. Probably a sneaky All-Australian chance on a wing if they do, you know, pick players in their positions. And, yeah, Ginnivan, I know we've touched on the last few weeks, 3 goals. And, yeah, I think that's why I think we want to see him not play for free kicks because he has more tricks than, you know, just the free kick in front of goal.
Yeah, there's a couple of instances. It's just whenever he gets a ball and he's around a player, that's the first sort of thing he looks for. But, yeah, the quicker he gets that out of his game, the more likable he'll be at least.
And we'll go on to your game review. North played the Bombers.
Yeah, so it was the last game on the Sunday evening. So, yeah, another predictable result. But I thought we didn't play too bad compared to our other sort of big losses. Essendon, overall, there were just a couple of goals better in each quarter. But I think we were pretty much competitive in each of the quarters and managed to hit the scoreboard and put up 9 goals ourselves, which isn't too bad. So, yeah, Essendon, they've had the wood over us recently, 8 games in a row that they've won now. We did have 6 changes, so it was a bit of an unsettled team. COVID hit, so a couple of important players, like Cole, Paul, even Curtis, they were all out. So it sort of impacted us in terms of personnel.
No, some of the Roos supporters always want to hear the positives, so what were some of those?
The biggest was probably the stoppage dominance. Goldstein, Greenwood, Simpkin, LDU, they pretty much had a commanding win in the stoppages, clearances, especially center clearances. I think it was like 9-20 or 6-20 or something ridiculous. Even though Essendon, they were missing Parrish, Shield, and McGrath, who go in there and sort of probably their A-grade center clearance players. I mean, Merritt still played. But other than that, yeah, I thought our boys did pretty well in there. Simkin was good again with 41 touches. And Horn Francis played his best game since the Sydney game. So, he looked pretty on. I think he had a really good first quarter. Drifted out a little bit. But then, in the end, he had a pretty good game with 21 touches and 9 marks. So he was definitely working hard. Bailey Scott is another one who's improved. So he'll be up there in best and fairest voting. And Stevenson is playing his role pretty well since Noble left from halfback.
A bit like Simkin, because Sims had a bit of a spike since Noble left as well. Is that just a coincidence or?
I don't know. It's hard to say. He's had a good year. I mean, he's probably been our second best player or third best anyway. But a little bit of an uptick in his performance in the last couple of games. For sure, with 41. And he got a bit of coach. He got some coaches votes as well.
And the negatives?
Probably just the structure up forward. Going into the season, I thought our forward line was our strongest, but you can now tell it's probably one of our weakest line. We just don't have an ability to get the ground ball, so or bring the ball to ground. Either getting outmarked or just kicking it, and it's getting cut off by intercept defenders like Redmond, Laverde, Kelly, the Thatcher had a lot of uncontested marks where they were able to cut it off. So I think it's probably because we don't have another dominant key forward. It's just Larky or Bust, really. So we might have to see if one of the Ruckman can develop or bring in a genuine second target to help out Larky. And even when the ball hits the ground, players, they're just not quick enough. They don't put enough pressure on the ball carrier. Another three tackles inside 450. We don't need too many. I think a lot of good teams have in the mid-teens. So just need a few more every quarter. But yeah, guys like Jack Siebel, they're just not, he's not agile enough anymore. And we miss Curtis as well. So Spicer is still young, sort of developing that side of this game. But yeah, Paul Curtis has proven to be pretty dangerous. So we sort of missed him. And when Thomas comes back, I think he'll definitely make a difference to that part of the ground.
He had a better game, ripper game in the VFL I saw as well.
Yeah, he did, yeah. So I think, especially first half, like 20 touches in the first half and then sort of got tagged a little bit.
How about for the Dons, who impressed you there?
Probably Mason Redmond. I think he should be winning the Best of Paris at this stage. A lot of it was uncontested, really. Only 5 contested possessions in his, 32 touches. 10 marks. So, like I said, yeah, just chopping off those balls inside 50 from the Roos. But he kicked a nice running goal as well. So, now he's having a good year.
We'll move on to the game review. So, Port hosts Richmond on Saturday night at Adelaide Oval. So hopefully we don't see a drop-off now with final chances gone. Can play final spoiler this week. Richmond are a bit of a battle to make the top 8. In terms of team changes, so I think Houston's back from concussion. He comes in for McEntee. Meade comes in for Amon, who is probably leaving. Burgoyne has to keep his spot ahead of Bonner. I just pray that he keeps his spot and Bonner just doesn't come back in. Maybe Sin for DBJ. It's been pretty poor since the 2020 All-Australian season, and I just think Burden and Houston are better off half-back flankers. Burgoyne's better one-on-one. So we just need that better balance down back. So I think we just get exposed too often. And yet Sin's off the injury list. The other change I make is Ollie Lord comes in for McKenzie. Playing in a new role off halfback, 197 centimetres. So I'd give him the job on Tom Lynch because, Cleary, McKenzie haven't really locked down that fullback spot. And, now's the time to try what we've been doing in the sand pool.
He was a forward though, right? So he's just changing things up.
Yeah, he's been playing down back the last month in the sand pool, I think, for this reason. Because we haven't locked down that fullback spot. So, and I think Dixon, Georgiades, Marshall are locked in the forward line. So, the other change to make is Hayes comes in for Finlayson, probably unpopular there. I think he must be given the last 3 games as the number one ruck. Lysett's obviously out for the seat indefinitely. So, really stiff given his ground level form, but I'd play Georgiades in the forward line over Finlayson. You always got Dixon as a backup. Backup ruck. I'd go Bergman with the big role on Shea Bolton, probably the form player in the comp, and probably Burton goes to Baker up forward and then probably Butters on him in the midfield, and they were the difference last time, Baker and Bolton. Probably just got to lower your eyes too. I know Grimes isn't playing, but that's when Richmond win their games, when you just bomb it in. So it must lower your eyes and hit up targets along the way.
Right, I feel like this is a game that you guys could really get up. Like, you have a good record against Richmond, don't you?
At home, we do, apart from that prelim, but yeah.
Yeah, so I think you guys will go into this with confidence and, sort of like, your season's done, so they'll play with a little bit more freedom. So I think that will contribute to something. And yeah, Richmond, they've been a bit lucky and a bit unlucky recent weeks. So they just got over the line again, the Lions, right? So it's hard to sort of play catch up when you're like trying to make the eight. So you might get them at a good time and be able to pinch this one, I think.
And your boys North are hosting the Swans at Marvellin. That's that why the premiership reunion's on? Because of those two teams? Or?
Yeah, because we played them in 96. Yeah, we beat them in 96. But I think because of last year, because of COVID, I think they're doing it this year. 25th, even though it's 26th anniversary. At Marvel, last time we played the Swans, it was at the SCG, and we came close to winning it. Probably one of our best performances for the year. A bit different this time, new coach, probably a handful of players in and out. I reckon they'll rest Buddy. I reckon probably don't need to risk bringing him, right? I think they rested him, I think, last year against us as well. We'll have a few names come back in from COVID protocols and suspension, like Young from suspension and I think Hall's 50-50, but Cole, Curtis, Marnie. Some names to come in. Who'll make what way? I think Archer. I think he got injured again. So it's two games and two games he hasn't been able to back it up. So maybe his body's just not ready. Spicer will come out, I reckon. And Lazaro or Josh Walker, who was a sub. So, yeah, I reckon... we'll go with Dawson, who made his debut, so keep playing him, who didn't look out of place. I think because the Swans are still young, they tend to have bad games every now and then. They've won five in a row heading into this. So Essendon got them last time. But I think a win, us beating them, is unlikely because we're like $8 or $9 to win. And yeah, they bat pretty deep. So if you tag sort of Rowbottom or Mills, they've got Warner, Goulden, still have Parker running through there happily. So they've got a lot of damaging match winners, right? So I don't think we have the personnel to match it. For us to win, I think we're going to have to rely on a bit of luck, maybe like we did against Richmond, not the opposition, not hitting the scoreboard. Or we can bring sort of a more mature game plan. Like, our game plan was all right against us, and it's just going forward that us down. So if we can, like, lower our eyes and hit targets and able to score and be within them after halftime and three-quarter time, I reckon. Maybe, on emotion, we can sort of pinch a win.
Who would you tag? Because they've got, you know, obviously a few match winners that you mentioned.
Right. Probably Mills. He's probably the one. I'd play ultra defensive on Heaney because he normally tends to kick a bag against us. And Warner's probably the other one who's been in hot form. So maybe a run with the role to sort of negate his influence. Ben Cunnington's going to come back, but I don't think it's going to be through the AFL. I think it's going to be more VFL. Tyrone Thomas is probably the other big one. So you mentioned him a bit earlier. So he had 27 touches or 26 touches in the VFL and looked very classy in windy conditions. So it'd be good to get him back. And maybe this is a game Jason Horn Francis just has a little bit of a mini breakout game and gets us a win. But it'll be a tough battle.
Yeah, hopefully Cunnington. Yeah, I think everyone in the footy world wants to see him back. Yeah.
If not this week, it'll be next week, I think, against Adelaide and maybe finish it off against Gold Coast at home.
Looking forward to it. And yeah, it's draft season for both of our clubs, and you've got a couple of names you want to talk about.
Yeah, one name we've already mentioned and probably
repeat.
One of my favourites. Yeah, the Harry Sheezel. So we've got a guy called Soup on the footy forum, so... Yeah, I'm just going to quote him if he doesn't mind. So Sheezel, I think he had another pretty good game a few weeks ago. So he's just a classy ball user by hand and foot. Probably not the most powerful or fast player, but has really good endurance base. A bit more of a forward version of Scott Pendlebury. So has a lot of time when he has the ball. He's better overhead, and he could play 60-40 forward, mid-forward split in the future. So not just a pure midfielder, like a lot of good midfielders tend to be. So this guy's got a bit more strings to his bow. And he can put up the wing and half back too, which I think would be appealing, especially to us as a team who need those kinds of players.
Yeah, actually, he falls to you whether it's a priority pick or just your normal first rounder. And there's a key back.
Henry Hustway. I think that's how you pronounce it. So he used to be a midfielder, so he's had a bit of a growth spurt, up to 195 centimeters now. So he's pretty much at that genuine key position, the heights. I think he's still got to gain a bit more weight because I think he's pretty skinny. But he can play on ball as well. So, and he's got a lot of versatility, clean hands below his knees, good decision maker. And his last NAB League game in July, he had 29 disposals, 9 clearances. So, again, showing that ball-winning ability for a tall player. Do you reckon this sort of prototype might be the new sort of midfielder? Well, not midfielder, not like a Marcus Van der Velde, but more like a winger, like Nick Cox and even Mac Andrew, who debuted on the weekend. I think we have tall midfielders, like center square midfielders, but could we have tall or wingers?
Yeah, remember when Richo nearly won the Brownlow? I think he played on a wing that season. So, if he can, yeah, because I think, I mean, hopefully Bombers do play Cox, yeah, on a wing, not down back. Probably struggling down back for key backs at the moment. But, yeah, it's probably the next evolution of the game, really.
Especially, like, players that can't put on enough weight to be strong enough to play one-on-one key position. I reckon you're looking at, yeah, players like pretty much what Dustin Fletcher was, but, yeah, that hard-running wing version. So, yeah, he'll be an interesting watch. I think he's sort of touted in the teens at this stage. Whereas Harry Sheezel's your top three. It's interesting watch. We'll see what happens.
100%. And the tipping, I don't really want to talk about. So I think you were 8 ahead last week, and I think you might have got 2 up on me. So you're 10, you're up 10 on me now, which is clearly unassailable unless you just get 0 the next 3 rounds, which you won't.
Yeah, and at work I'm equal fourth, so I need to get into that top 3 to get some money. So. That's the comp I want to win.
Yeah, I've lost my lead in the work comp too, so that's fantastic. So move on to the round 21 preview. We start off with Melbourne hosting Collingwood on Friday night at the G. I've got the D's to break the Pies' 10-game win streak. I think Gorn will just assert his dominance again. He's been pretty quiet the last probably 6 to 8 weeks. I know he had an injury in there too.
Yeah, I reckon the Collingwood bubble has to burst sooner or later. So it could be the loss they need to have. But, Melbourne ultra impressive last week against Freo. I reckon they'll continue that and win this game as well.
And Saturday, Hawthorn versus the Suns at University of Tasmania Stadium. I've got the Suns. I'm hoping that Rankin signs because I think he's the last of the gun youngsters to sign, and there's been a lot of talk with him going to the Crows, so hopefully he signs and stays.
Hopefully he signs. Like, most of them have signed. If they do want him, they're gonna have to trade for him because I don't think they're in a position to walk him through the preseason draft, and the Crows just need to hang on to all their picks and just rebuild for the draft. This game's a hard game to pick. I'm going to go Hawthorn just because it's in Tassie. Yeah, that's the only reason. Tuukka Miller's having another great year, and he'd be my smoky for the Brownlow.
I think they've
won enough games, but I think they can pinch another couple and he can have good games. I reckon he'd be right in the mix.
Nice. And the Giants hosting Essendon at Giants Day. I got the Giants. Then they respond to McVay's criticism and, still don't trust the Bombers. They haven't really beaten really good teams the last four wins they've had. Maybe the Swans, but they had a down week.
How dare you? They beat us. I reckon. this is a hard game as well. What a challenging round. Yeah, I'm going to go right away in Sydney as well. I reckon they can bounce back and have a good game. If in doubt, I'm just going to go with home team. Even though Essendon are pretty sound against us. Especially Stringer. He tends to have good games against us. So look for him to have a quiet one.
Bulldogs hosting Freo at Marvel. I've got Freo. Got a good record at Marvel. And just don't trust the Dogs. And I think Darcy's been really good for me in the ruck too. I think he'll beat English in that battle.
All right, that was confusing, because Sam Darcy might debut as well, so we could have Darcy on Darcy potentially. Apparently, he's killing it in the VFL, but again, I'm gonna go for the home team. I reckon the Dogs might just do enough, not with a lot of confidence, but yeah, because it's a home game and Freo, they're a lot better, but still can't trust them 100%.
Yeah, if the Dogs get Liam Jones and Darcy's the halfback they've wanted, they're pretty set, aren't they? Because that's their big hole at the moment. Geelong hosting St Kilda, GMHBA. I've got the Cats to continue their streak, which will get to 11. And, yeah, Danger was really ominous on the weekend and probably had a gear that maybe I didn't think he had anymore. So,
I think St Kilda match up well and play well against the Cats, but because it's at in Geelong, I reckon, can't tip against the Cats.
Port hosting Richmond at Adelaide Oval. I've got Port. Never tipped against them, so not going to start now.
I'm going to tip Port as well. I reckon Geelong. I mean, Richmond might just find it a bit tough over there.
And Sunday, your mob. The Roos hosting the Swans at Marvel. I've got the Swans. I think they'll make it six in a row. And, they've just got too many guns running through the midfield at the moment.
Yeah, I reckon the only way Kangaroos win is if Cunnington plays and they play on that emotion. But I don't think he'll play in the AFL, so I'm going to take the Swans.
Brisbane hosting Carlton at the Gabba. I've got Brisbane at home, but, Carlton... You really need to win at least one of the last three to make finals a certainty.
So would you say it's a failure if they miss out finals? Because that's very – it's likely.
Oh, 100%. I think they were 8-3 or 8-2.
Yeah.
I know the Wiedering went down. They've had injuries. But, their list is good enough to be –
It's good. He'll test their depth. Hewitt's injured still and – guys like Durden. They have a little bit of injury. But I'm going to say Brisbane, they can bounce back and win at home.
They've got Lions at the Gabba, Melbourne at the G, and then Collingwood to finish. So, none of those three are easy by any stretch.
Yeah, they'll need to win one.
And West Coast to close their own hosting Adelaide at Optus. I've got West Coast. Just think, Kennedy's last game will be enough for them to get over the line.
Yeah, I think so. Adelaide, they had a good win last week, but being a young team, they can be let down the week after. And with that retirement news for JJK, I think they'll get over the line. But we shouldn't not mention Mundy. Two greats of Western Australian footy.
Yeah, absolute. I think the WA boys fly, 10 times the amount that the big boys do. And Mundy's still got a bit to play out, but hopefully he does. Don't think he's going to win a premiership, but he's at probably the second best behind Pavlich in the history.
Put five in there, probably.
Third then.
Yeah, he'd be probably third or fourth to Peter Bell. No. Cool. I think that wraps us up. But good episode.
We'll catch you guys next week.
All right, see ya.